Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up at a time when we need Truth Straight Up.
Exactly.
The Chuck and Julie Show brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com of Colorado and America's Conservative Voice. Great website. I check one of those ones. That was great English. One of those sites that I check every day, along with Colorado Senegenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, we're going to have Congressman Tom Tancredo on here in a second to talk to us about what the heck is going on in Washington, D.C., as if we actually really need to ask. And then also fellow radio talk show host and fellow BBS radio host Karen Cattling coming on at 3:30. Just a lot to talk about today.
Well, let's talk about the Super Bowl to begin
with. Okay, while we wait for Tom.
I mean, it had its high points and its low points. If you were a Tampa Bay fan, the game was a high point. If you're Kansas City, it wasn't. If you were just a neutral fan and wanted a good game, you didn't get it. Uh-huh. So at least there's some people, including me, who wanted Tampa Bay to win, but and Julie likes whoever wins.
I just like whoever's winning for the most part.
So that's good. The Super Bowl high point maybe for me was early on this disemboweled holograph of President Biden, the most popular president ever, you must remember, and his beautiful wife, Jill.
Dr.
Jill,
Biden.
Remember that? You know, she got her fake PhD. I guess in fake, but kind of disgraced a PhD. They came on to remind you to wear your mask, social distance, don't go anywhere, don't have any fun. Then they said a moment of silence for all the dead people, and
none have occurred though since January 20th.
Yeah, they're all
everyone's fine. That's just Trump's fault.
And there was anything but a moment of silence. And if you're a liberal, you didn't hear the boos apparently, but if you were a conservative, you certainly heard the boos. So that to me was a high point of the Super Bowl. The low point. And I didn't watch it real because I refused to watch the halftime show. Refused to watch the halftime show as part of my protests against the NFL. Not effective, but you know what the hell. What was the pathetic Jeep ad featuring none other than the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
I didn't even recognize him. I guess he's keeping up with his
regular Botox and plastic surgery and keeping that hair looking good.
And it was incredibly stupid.
It was a thing, you know, he was in the heart of America at this church.
At a church, because we know liberals like churches.
Yeah, they believe in God and all that. Church of Christianity and their sanctity of life.
Well, and how can this church, here's the thing I had, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but not really. So they said the church is always open. It's like, no, it's not. The churches are locked down, you idiots. It's like the church is not always open.
People couldn't go in another. If you weren't the boss.
If you weren't the boss filming a video.
So then he told us we had to unite. And it was just a pathetic effort to the violins going, go, this, you know, the soil we live on is common ground. We all must come together behind you, Biden. We all must unite behind
you. But we're going to reprogram you, Trump people, by the way. We're not reuniting with you. And if you're the wrong kind of New York Times reporter, not reuniting behind
and
you either.
And then he put on a cowboy hat, which is maybe the worst cowboy hat I've seen since Montana.
Well, or since
Yellowstone, where the kind of the beaten down loser guy has this god-awful hat and all his fellow bunkmates chip in to get him a good hat and replace
it. Well, it's trying to look like he wears it all the time.
Well, New Jersey, they're all, he got his cowboy boots, his rancher jacket. I mean, it was so fraudulent and so pathetic. And so I've not got, and it's an expanding list. I'm not buying a Jeep again. I had a Jeep at one time and I kind of liked it. It was okay, but not anymore. And what was insult to injury, because Jeep is based in Michigan. They left off the top third of the state, apparently thinking that was in Canada.
Yeah.
That was another brilliant move by the ad agency. But we really came together under the boss and we're all unified for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, and there was another thing.
ever.
Another thing, it was kind of funny. So they had, and got, you know, good for her, some teenage girl who won some kind of poet laureate or something like that, right? And so she said some kind of poem. We turned that down too. I refused to listen to that. But I'm looking at all the little woke snowflake tweets. It's like, it's so beautiful to have poetry at the NFL. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Tom Brady, who was one of the greatest athletes of all time, I have to say there is excellence in what was going on in the field. It'd be like saying, we need to, at every poetry reading, we need to throw in a few football players because that brings balance.
Well,
I just wanted to say, shut up, you stupid people who never watch a football game anyway. It's like, you don't need poetry. There's nothing wrong with poetry, but there's also nothing wrong.
This is special poetry because
she's a Black African-American
Of course,
woman.
But there's that, which of course is just wonderful. But beyond that wonderfulness, she was at the Biden inaugural and read some stirring poetry.
Because that's what you need in the NFL, is poetry. To me, it's like, that's just acknowledge good sports, right? Sporting events are fun to watch.
They played the Black National Anthem early in the pregame. And it was just, I just love the NFL. I love Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Such a little snowflake himself. But just so wonderful and cuddly. And you could see him interviewing Tom Brady and Tom going.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Well, and then did you see the CNN reporter trying to get everybody in Tampa arrested for not wearing masks?
Right,
she's asking.
Right.
It's like, hello, CNN, wake up. Number one, I mean, you can try shoving this masking down our throat, but every day Dr. Fauci changes the number of masks we have to wear. So no one believes it anymore. Florida has been open. CNN is just on this anti-Florida thing, right? Shepard Smith shows people at a grocery store. Like, oh, they don't have masks at the grocery store. And they're waving and being friendly. She's like, there are people partying. And then Tom Brady. Well, and the other thing, Chuck, you may not know this. I didn't know this until I got up and read Twitter this morning. Racist that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl on Black History Month.
Come on.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess you should have just let Patrick Mahomes win.
Yeah.
Because that would not have been racist. I'm like, what a bunch of idiots. It's like they're trying to destroy everything in the United States. Why don't you take down? I've got Tom Pancredo texting me.
All right. Yeah. Well, another part of the Sunday cavalcade was Liz Cheney doing her best to undermine Trump and claiming that she is the paragon of virtue, that she has her own little very special oath and she must adhere to it, and that prevents her from wanting the president not to be impeached. And she was on with none other than the beautiful one, Chris Wallace, and it was a wonderful, just life affirming kind of event, the interview. And it was a tough interview too. He was very, very tough.
Yeah.
and she's just, and then everybody expressed dismay that she didn't also praise the closing down of the Keystone Pipeline, which Wyoming would not be a popular thing to praise. So she managed not to alienate the two people left in the state that don't already hate her.
Hey, that's good. So I'm just texting for Thomas, a producer. Tom says he's ready. So maybe try him again.
Do they have the right number?
I think so. But let's go ahead and go to Don from Colorado Springs. Hey, Don, thank you for calling in.
Well, I wasn't going to call in, but you brought up the Jeep commercial.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Freedom From Religion Foundation decided to have a little beef with them showing that chapel in the ad, you know, saying that's offensive and this is not what makes America, and that we need to be more of a secular nation. And then they were pointing out that the chapel was on Native American land eons ago.
Right.
Oh, well, of course. It's
like, I don't know. At first, I was a lame ad anyway.
Well, Bruce Springsteen is a bit of, I used to like Bruce Springsteen, but he can join the list of the artists I now hate. And Bruce Springsteen seems so self-important. So self-important, well, so obnoxious. And anybody who's ever had a Jeep, by the way, the middle of winter, you do not ride around with the top off.
I know, it's cold.
You're going to pick up that COVID-19 really quick or something else anyway. But here he is, all decked out, riding down the road in his cowboy hat and his boots he bought from the cowboy store in Englewood, New Jersey.
Right.
Very, very fine. And so it was so authentic. And I think did it unify you with the rest of the country, Don?
Well, all I'm saying is that the left is eating their own with that statement from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yes.
You know, because you know what? We don't like what Bruce Springsteen. We know he's a liberal, you know, and he never did a commercial up until now. And now that he did and showed that chapel, now the radicals in the FFRF are having a little fuss. They're cannibalizing themselves on that particular issue.
Well, what they want to use is use Christian symbols and Middle America symbols, all of which they hate.
They don't even know where it is.
Just to do a weepy violin playing
Jeep ads. Hey, Don, we've got Tom. So thank you for calling in. We agree with you. Thank
you're a
you.
Good one.
All right. We got Tom with us. Hey, Tom Tancredo, thank you for your time, sir. Glad to have you with us.
You bet. My pleasure.
So wanted to, I mean, there's only so many, a million things we wanted to talk to you about. First, though, I guess I wanted to say, what the heck? Was it this way when you were in Congress? So we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's being like attacked on all fronts. But in the meantime, then the Democrats strip her off her committee, which seems weird to me. They're saying, okay, if we don't like her, put on your committee.
Were you ever in the minority in the House on a committee?
Yes.
You don't get to do a lot, do you? I mean,
no. When you if they strip your committees while you're in the minority, it gives you a lot of free time that you can use for more productive things.
Right.
You can't do crap while you're on the committee. Especially, it depends on the margins, of course, and you know. But yeah, because the margin of the majority determines actually how much of a margin you have on the committee. So if you lose by a lot, your party, then you have a very few votes on a committee. So anyway, yeah, it's not a terribly horrible thing. You could still go, I guess, and sit there if you wanted to. Sometimes that would
well, why would you want to?
And then text, well, what do you make of this? I mean, it seems...
She should go down to Puerto Rico and join the Chicago teachers.
The teachers there. I mean, the Democrats, there is no overreach too far. So she has no power on the committee anyway, but they're trying to, I think, make an example of her and make everybody shut up. So they're saying, okay, we're going to pull her off the committee. Oh, by the way, then we're going to impeach the president, even though he's not the president anymore. I mean, was it that way when you were there, or has it gotten way worse?
Oh, yeah, no, it's way worse. I never saw anything like that in terms of the actual the House taking away. Usually your party can do it, you know, because your party, your leader is the one that puts you on. Right. And so it's up to them, essentially. I must admit, until this happened, I didn't even know that the House essentially could do it.
Yeah.
Without, you know, I mean, it's just never happened, at least to the best of my recollection, may have, but no, listen, it was funny because a couple of weeks ago, I drove up to Cheyenne to participate in the rally against Lynn Cheney. Yeah, it was a lot of fun and met the guy. It was great. I'm standing outside and, you know, just me and my dog. But when I got there, I mean, I'm thinking, geez, you know, how many people show up in the Cheyenne? And it's maybe 100 or something. I'm thinking, so I should go up. I thought I'll go up and add myself and my dog to the crowd. But my gosh, there were over 1,000 people there.
Yeah, big crowd.
Yes,
amazing how mainstream media readjusted that number down to hundreds.
Well, hundreds technically is.
Exactly.
It's always tens in its own way. It's ones. Enough of them.
Yeah, but on the way up there, I get this call from Politico, and the guy wants to know some of the same questions you were just asking me, right? About what it was like and about what I think about what they're doing to Green and stuff. And I said, look, I will be happy to give you a comment if you promise me that you will put it into the story. Well, I will try. I said, but I will also understand if your editors take it out, because then you'll know just how it feels to be a conservative. censored. And he goes, oh yeah, sure. So I said, you know, just when you think that the Democrats cannot be more hypocritical than they've been, they will surprise you and show you that indeed they're a long way from being to the end of that rope. And case in point, Nancy Pelosi complaining about Representative Green's statements and wanting her taken off of committees, and the same with Lauren Boebert from Colorado.
Right,
she carries. And I said, they want for statements. I said, here's the same person who has completely ignored any calls from the right, to the extent that there have been any, to take her member off of the Intelligence Committee.
Who was sleeping with spies.
Who's sleeping with Chinese.
With a Chinese spy.
Yeah. Named Fang Fang, of all things, too. So you knew she was a spy. If somebody says, you, hi, my name is Fang Fang, you're like, spy.
You know.
I know. And AOC, who was, you know, and what's her name? Anya Pressley, who was like, felt, I'm not sure what cultural terror is, but I mean, who weren't even there, right? I mean, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, to the best of my knowledge, the whole piece didn't run. they refused to put anything in, because I texted him a while back and I said, because he was promised me that he would send me the link, right? Because I wanted to see whether they would put it. And and he said, well, it'll be next week. Well, that was a week ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I doubt that it ever appeared. And if it did appear, I will bet it didn't appear with my
censor.
Where do you see this? Let's go national first. Where do you see national going? Is it going to be
Liz Cheney going to
come back and everybody? You know,
remember, they love her after all.
Yeah, after that great, riveting Chris Wallace interview.
I'll tell you what I see happening. Here's what I think is going to happen. Right now, I met the guy that's running against her. I was standing outside, and the guy wanders out of the Capitol building, and I thought, I wonder if he's the guy. He's got a little badge on, and people started walking over to him. So I said, by any chance, are you the fellow that's running against her? Yeah. By any chance, are you Tom Tancredo?
Maybe.
How did you, you know? And so he's, well, I want to get a picture. Anyway, he's double digits ahead and raised $150,000. And it was, you know, which is pretty good in certainly in that state. And so there was great hope. But here's what's going to happen, I think. You will see and this is already beginning to happen with the swamp coalescing around her, right? McCarthy and even senators. What the hell have they got to say about this? But no, they are chiming in on behalf of her, Republican senators.
Which ones?
Pardon me?
Which ones? Which Republican senators are chiming in?
McConnell first. Yeah,
right.
Oh, he's already said something. And yeah. Lindsey Graham.
Yes. Oh, yay, Lindsey.
Right.
Yeah. So you've got this happening, these senators, Republican senators saying, oh, she's wonderful, shows courage, blah, 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 blah. And then, so the money will begin to pour in. It will come in truckloads from all over, from the swamp and the swamp critters that feed off of Washington. You will also see, I'll bet you, there will be candidates begin to come into play. You know, they will say, I'm running too. I'm
the real conservative. Yeah.
Oh,
no. I hate Liz
Cheney.
Yes,
that's right. There'll be, in a way, agents provocateur, you know?
Right.
And so you cannot, and it will take votes away from her. And you just cannot begin to imagine all the crap that's going to happen up there to keep her in.
Sure.
But it will be substantial, believe me. And so you can't be sure. Right now, if the election were tomorrow, she'd lose double digits.
Right.
But believe me, in a year and a half, a lot of things can change, especially with
They can start cranking up the Dominion voting machines.
Right. Jack, there you go again. What about though? I mean, have you ever seen anybody, and maybe you have, I mean, to me, I guess what I'm going to say, I'm astonished at her complete, like, hey, screw you stupid voters. And we'll play the sound bites later, but she's like, oh, they were lied to. They believe Trump was a liar. It's like, and Wallace says, are you going to resign? And she's like, no. She's like, why would I mean, I've never seen anybody She didn't even pretend like she cared what the voters thought, right? She didn't say, you know, look, we can make this up. And if she just was like, screw them.
Well, she hadn't met any of them. She's lived in outside of D.C.
She's never sure there. But maybe that's
parachuted in for an unsuccessful state senator and then the Wyoming, you know.
But I've never seen a representative, except for on the Denver City Council, so contemptuous of their own constituents.
I know, it's amazing. And it's kind of makes you think, what do they know about what's going to happen?
Well, you just explained.
I think they know all of this. I think they know that the part money can play, the shenanigans that they can pull. Really and truly, there are a lot of other things that can happen that they will employ when you've got both the Democrats who hate you and or at least would just as soon see you out, because why not? That's one of the best seats. You know, and as I kept saying when I was up there in Chicago, this is one of the best Republican seats in the Congress. Why in the hell should we waste it on hate, for God's sake? There's got to be better people. But you've got, you know, the Democrats that certainly would like to see that seat change. You've got Republicans who are in favor of her to the extent that they will do a lot of nasty things, I will tell you that. And she knows it.
Yeah.
She knows it. And so in this case, I think the you've got to be somewhat skeptical about how things will play out.
Well, you know, it's scorched earth. You know, all of a sudden, the mainstream media in Wyoming, I don't know what the paper is in Cheyenne and everything else, will officially announce all the misdeeds of the state senator and how he's just, he's not really a Republican. He's morally, awful.
Yep,
and because
we want to get real quick, because Tom has to get off at 3:25.
You're not here at 3:25, do you, Tom? Well, let me ask you this. What do you think the Republican Party in Colorado?
Maybe 3:30.
3:30, okay, good. What do you think the Republican Party? Well, this guy called me up Friday and said, hey, you going to the Adams County
Fighting Ben Nicholas.
Yeah, Fighting Ben Nicholas. And I said, I don't know. When is it? So I went out there and they said, all right, we're going to do voting for the Central Committee. And the guy said, you should run. I said, okay. So I ran and I gave my speech. And I think there were about 30 people running and about 20 got it. And I won a spot. So now I'm on the Central Committee of Colorado, a very powerful individual. Yes. There you go.
You can stay until 3:35 now that you know that, right?
Now you know how important I am and how much power I have. But it was interesting. And you could see the battle between those who hate Trump and those who love Trump. It was on full display with those who hate Trump pretending not to hate Trump, but, you know, just not
hating Trump.
Right.
Just hiding a little back in
the background. Trump likers won.
Yeah, there were some Trump haters that won, but the majority of the people were Trump likers. But the Republican Party has two parts. It has a corporate part, the Phil Anschutz funds and all
Chamber
the way
of Commerce.
Well, there's no state Chamber of Commerce really in Colorado. There's one technically, but it doesn't really play much. And then there's the Republican establishment who hated you. And most of them are, you know, I don't know. You can just go down the list. McNulty, the Friends of the Future. What's her name? Laura Lundgren, Both Ways Bob, and the whole cabal of them. But it was interesting because, well, Adams County is Trump territory. El Paso is incredibly split. But the black pro Vicky Tompkins beat back the ones, and all you get is articles. She won, but there's many questions, many questions by email Bremer.
Eli
Bremer. He's the
going to run for Senate or something.
Well, the nephew of the one who ran Iraq for Bush right into the ground. But they get it. You know, every statement is from them and none from the conservatives, none from the grassroots, because the Gazette and the Colorado Politics and the Denver Post, they don't ever talk to grassroots people because they don't believe them to be human. And so it's just the same old shitty articles by lousy reporters who talk to one side and pretend they're giving you the objective truth. But who do you hate most in the Republican Party here that's still alive?
Well, you know, Steve, Durham called, and I mean, he's my really good buddy, and a while back, and he said, what do you think? Maybe you think I'm thinking about running for state party chair. And I said, okay. So let's start here. Have you had any sort of problem that has affected your brain? Because it sounds like it to me. What in the name of heaven would you want to do anything like that for? I said, of course, I would support you because you're my best buddy and all that. But I said, you know, Steve, what do you think you could possibly accomplish? Let's say you win. Okay. What do you do with a party? First of all, the party that is split as much as ours is. And secondly, with any political party that is constricted as it is by the state laws that were passed by the Plague of Women Voters that restricts the ability of a party to spend any money.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, so a little bit later, I get a call from
Scott Gessler.
Scott Gessler.
See, I knew it.
Chuck had a conference call.
He asked my for support. And I said, let me tell you what I just told my friend. Because, you know, you're crazy. I mean, if you're going to go through all the brain damage that it takes to win even that, what do you win when you get there? If you win, you win a lot of more brain damage because
Well, you can funnel the money to your friends.
Well, let me tell you what it's all about. The $2.2 million, the RNC funds everything. So you get to have Butterball salary, LX's salary,
your own salary.
And then you funnel everything else to your best friend, Andy George. And then Scott can also give the Clear Creek Strategies and Josh Penry. That's all it is. It's just how do they get the money from the RNC, spend it all on their friends for mailers from Majority Strategies in Florida. And so it's no, he's got a, you know, he is called the whore for the Scott Gessler, and Andy George is the pimp who he gets all the real money, right? The other guy gets all the headaches,
the brain damage,
but Andy George gets all the money. You know, he's selling
money,
best friend down the thing.
You're
so,
right. Yeah.
Well, that's that's America.
So what do you think? I mean,
well, I mean, and I like him, but you know, today I went to the Republican men's club in Jefferson County thing, and Randy Corcoran was there, and so that's why I went. Plus, now they're holding him at noon instead of 7 o'clock in the morning. So now I go.
Much civilized.
There was Casper Sackman who got up and said he was running for state.
Yeah. Right.
And so the minute I heard it, now I have to. I know this is going to sound catty, but I thought, does he get paid? Because Casper, God love him, but. You know, I was with him in all of his campaigns until the last one where he switched from one congressional district to the other.
Right.
And then I told him, I said, I've had it. And he said, why? I said, because your campaigns have become cartoons. They're not campaigns anymore.
Poor Casper. We love Casper.
Everybody recognizes it. Yeah. We do, well, too, I know. But come on.
There are no. Well, and I think you're right. I mean, I think because we talk to people looking to with the Republic, and like you said, first, why would you want to be the chairperson?
But, unless you have Andy George as your friend.
Well, I mean, for if you actually have, you know, ethics and principles and things like that, you want to help the Republican Party. But you know, we talk to people and they said, you just can't beat the establishment. There's not much point in
it.
Well,
you can beat the establishment, but it's
let's hard. Say you do. Yeah. Let's say you do. Let's say you can. Let's just say for a moment, you can beat the establishment and become the chairman of the Republican Party.
Right.
What? So what?
Well, I'd give Julie $2.2 million.
There we go.
I'd give our greatest strategist and the person we must $2.2 million. Because that's all the race is about.
Oh, well, never mind. Next week, I'm for you.
And Tom, we'll hire you as our consultant.
Support you.
Hey, you know what? We know you got to go. We're going to have you back on again, too, as you can help us unravel all of this. Thank you for your time, Tom. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. A pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
All right.
That's Tom Tancredo.
Yep, Tom Tancredo there. We need to have her on for things. We've got Karen. Karen, I'm going to ask you to hang tight for a second. We've got Barney on line four. So let's take Barney's phone call.
Hey, Barney.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey, not sure if I got signal. Chuck, you're doing okay, I assume.
Well, this is great. This is great. We can. If it went the other way, I wouldn't have told you. But So I'm waiting for a call at noon to tell me whether I live or die, because if the cancer's gotten the bloodstream,
it was a melanoma he had removed.
It goes into your bloodstream and then it spreads the cancer, and your life expectancy is not very long. So you're hanging on the phone and this is the doctor. I've got your pathology report. And you're going,
oh no.
Yes. He says you live. Oh, it did not get in the bloodstream. So I get to go. I'm going to have plastic surgery. I wasn't going to sure I needed plastic surgery, but I was just going to be dead in 6 months. So plastic surgery to make my beautiful leg even more beautiful. And that's how we got Karen is to be filling in while I go under the knife again. But this is kind of, you know, it's kind of nice.
Everything was good. They got everything. There was no spreading.
But it's one of those phone calls. You kind of go, you feel like you're in the Roman Colosseum, and the emperor is either dee, 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 you live.
In the meantime, then you have to put the Oreos down because now you're going to have to.
Oh, shit. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, he's okay, Barney. So thank you for asking.
Not the Oreo. Well, but Chuck, come on, beautiful. That's a stretch, but that's okay.
Oh, no, you ought to look at my legs. My legs are attractive. They've always been one of the high points of my entire life.
We'll just keep the cameras up here, okay?
No, no, you want to see it.
No, it's a Jeffrey Tubin.
It's just a beautiful one with a big hole in it.
We love you. We need you around a long time to beat up on you.
All right, that's fair enough.
Julie, we love you too, even though you're a homie for whatever team. By the way, I've just got one thing to the NFL. You guys are pathetic. You've been pathetic for a long time. And I got into the halftime show. That blind weekend guy. Well, hang on. That's all I watched. Bruce Springsteen, you are pathetic too.
He is
a pathetic piece of crap.
Right.
Just pathetic. Right. And we don't give a damn about your stories, about what song you wrote. And you know what? We just don't give a damn. You're a pathetic little tiny man. With hand issues, and that's okay. But
well, it's good plastic surgery. That's some good work then. Good work.
Oh yeah, yeah. Never forget my daughter. The halftime shows. He slides across the stage and he says, "We're going, man," and it was laughable. The guy's just a little puke. He's a little puke man, and you don't like him anymore. And his music really wasn't that great. Sorry, Bruce.
I used to like him. I worked out with him. Anyway. Accidentally at the YMCA in Denver. He was down there and didn't have a lot of benches.
What, did he come to your knees?
Huh? he wasn't big. He wasn't big, but he was okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I you know what? Some of the crap he said over there. I like Downbound Train. There's a few songs I can pick to say that I like, but the guy's just he's an ass clown. And like Mark Brooks. They're ass clowns. Garth Brooks.
Ass clowns, yes. Another ass clown, right.
He's so full of himself. Yeah. Right. Sopa had a few good songs, but, you know, what he did to the people of Ireland, that was just tiny, you know, the great song that he did about Ireland, but he's just fat little butterball of a man, and I didn't call to beat up on the worthless singers.
Donald Trump. His very presence exposes every kind of snake in the grass. Eventually, he forced out, coaxed out Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. All these people nobody ever trusted. And remember when we kept being asked all the time, every week, "Well, what's wrong with Cory Gardner?" I mean, Cory Gardner votes with the president 90-something%. And people said, "Yeah, but he's not really, he's part of the swamp. Don't you get it?"
Yes.
And they said, "No." Well, guess what? He was.
And that's the thing, Karen. And, you know, like, we all need to remember, too, is they attack the president. So when Liz Cheney is attacking the president, she's attacking us. Donald Trump is absolutely right. They are, yes, they're coming after me, but they're really coming after you. And when he was president, he was just standing in the way. I mean, when you listen to Liz Cheney, like I was saying to Tom, just the contempt she had for her constituents, that she said, "Well, they're being lied to and they don't know what's happening. They don't understand." It's like, she's telling the lie. She says there's a massive criminal investigation going on into Trump. It's like, no, there's not. You know, I mean,
unless you're doing it,
unless she's doing it. And so that's,
and I used to like Dick Cheney. And then I realized I never liked Bush. I never liked any of the Bushes, but you know, when you're savvy, even remotely savvy, you realize there's a reason Cheney and Bush worked together. There's a reason, for example, that Bill Barr was in the Bush administration, right?
Yes,
you
yes.
know these people, birds of a feather. And
right.
savvy people get it. And that's not what our opponents are. That's not who our opponents are speaking to.
Let me explain what the glitch was, just so folks,
if you're who are watching this later or joining us live, the power went out briefly to the BBS folks.
Well, they're in California.
Yeah, they're in California. So thank you. Thank you, Governor Newsom.
You go.
So their power briefly went out. So like everything went. Yeah, but we're back on now. So apologize to anybody listening live or listening later. There's going to be a bit of a glitch.
I don't know if you saw the Peter Navarro interview with Maria Bartiromo, but he said for the last 90 days, people in the Justice Department were working on the executive orders for Biden. So they all be ready and just in time. And so Bill
you
Barr
mean,
was-
Wait a minute, Chuck, you mean Biden didn't write those?
No.
He did, Jared. They just proved
them all.
He
memorized them.
He memorized every one of them.
He memorized all of them.
Exactly. And he couldn't figure out where to put his pens. That's why he was in it. He had so much
so
going
Bill
on.
Barr
I had no
there,
idea.
They're working on his EOs, yeah.
God, when they say Biden did this and Biden do that.
Yeah, right.
Fortunately,
who knew?
He's cured COVID now. So that even though in Chicago, the teachers union, you know, like, it's not cured. We're not going back to school.
We're never going back to work. You know,
never
going to
go back to work.
Never going to go back to work.
You know, I have a really, I wrote a few notes because I knew it was coming on. And I have such a hard time fighting, doing it as a talk show host, fighting that I really want to ignore every bit of it. All of it.
Right.
It's so insulting to the intelligence of someone with a room temperature IQ that they are now impeaching a private citizen. It's so insulting that they're accusing of inciting violence when everybody saw the speech and they incited violence all summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's so insulting that nothing ever happens to any of these people. That's what I think the grassroots is angriest about, is that it is all happening in plain view and
right.
they keep getting away with it. And I can only be happily sarcastic so long before my hair goes on fire and I say, you know what? Screw it.
I'm taking
I don't want to know.
I need to go to my Zen place. I need to go.
I don't want to know. I have to go to my puppy place.
Your puppy place.
You got to play your Steinway.
You got to play your, well, you know, there is an interesting thing. I've read a great column and I tweeted it out. It was by a lady in the wrote for the Federalist. And she was saying, because we get asked this all the time, as I'm sure you do too, from people saying, well, what can we do? What should we do? And she basically said, you know, sort of to each his ability, right? Whatever you feel like you can do. But most of all, it's like, don't be silent. You don't have to get into a fight with your neighbor or your children or anything like that, but you could just.
Why not, Julie?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to finish.
You don't have to
punch him, but you know, but push back and just, and she said, you can start there. And I was thinking of going off of Twitter, but she was saying no. And she goes, you know, for as long as Twitter lets me tweet on this platform, which won't be very long, I'm sure, I'm going to still put it out. I'm going to say that's a lie. Did you see the CEO, the ex-CEO of Parler is like, oh yeah, I never wanted Trump on because I was afraid he would bully people. I'm like, well, that could be why you're the ex-CEO.
Yeah,
you idiot.
In the grass everywhere.
There
are. But you know, there are
absolutely
more of us than them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to remember
there's a lot of snakes out there.
They've given us a complete blueprint if we just pay attention. The whole blueprint is right before us. Whatever they censor is what they're afraid of. Whatever they hate is what they're threatened by. You've got to think big picture.
Yes.
And I have to tell you how frustrating it is to me to hear everyday statesmen who are not corrupt, but who keep putting the same bromides against an opponent that is full blown, full bore going full communist on us. I'm tired of people mincing words and saying, well, I wrote a piece about this. I hadn't written a piece in 2 weeks. I couldn't bear it. But, you know, we must question their motive every moment of every day. Why argue the issue when the issue they put forth is not honest?
Well, exactly.
They don't do what they do because of the answers that they're giving you. So why give credence to their lies? Yes.
Well, that's what Rush Limbaugh did so well, has done well for so much time. He would say, okay, they're arguing this. That's all BS. What they're really doing is B. And they're always doing something other than what they're arguing. So to sit there and argue with them about the point, which, you know, their whole thing is we don't care for right. We don't care for wrong. Our real goal is B.
Right. Well, that's what I say about the impeachment, you know, and we're reading that Trump's lawyers are going to argue it's unconstitutional. And I kind of, to your point, it's like they know it's unconstitutional. Why are they going to go argue that? Trump should use that as a stage to get whatever message he wants to get across. He should just say, hey, do you know what? I'm forming my own social media platform. And here's my handle. All of you guys call in and give your I mean, that's what he should do. I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
There's so many unanswered questions about where the ball was dropped. But it bothers me no end when people after the fact say, oh, well, you know, if Trump wouldn't have been so, you know, if he would have had a nicer style. And, you know, even people I love and respect say that sometimes. And I think, boy, you guys are clueless.
Well, it is. And when, particularly when you ask him.
Took on the entire world by being himself. And they still are more critical of him than they are of the communists who took him down.
And the thing is, his style had nothing to do with why they hated him. They hated him because the global corporations had, and look at what the big tech people are doing now, too. Look at who made money off the pandemic, a lot of money. Those people were rolling in the dough. That money train was rolling along smoothly. And all of a sudden, Trump comes along and he says, well, what about the American worker? What about Main Street, not Wall Street? They can't stand that. And the rest of us said, hey, yeah, what about us? And they're like, they can't stand us standing up for ourselves. And so they
only story worth reading in Time for about two generations. They did a story about how a cabal of all these people got together, not rig the election, but to fortify
the election.
And I always love the word cabal because it comes from the time of Charles I of England. And it was five people who controlled the government, you know, awfully and, you know, Lord Clifford and Earl of Arlington, and Duke of Buckingham, Lord Ashley, of course, and the Lord of Lauderdale, all the C-A-B-A-L. And so that to call them a cabal indicates that they're a nefarious group. I don't think they quite understand the meaning of cabal. But it was a good article. It was a good article. How they rigged the election laws.
They gave us their blueprint.
And there's another part of the blueprint too. And that is whenever they accuse you of engaging in conspiracy theories, they're brilliant. They're brilliantly diabolical because everything they do is designed to either advance their revolution towards communism or suppress their enemies in not being able to talk, speak, act, engage in commerce or anything else. So we must recognize all the stuff they're doing to suppress us and do the opposite, which is very hard for law-abiding conservatives to do. They don't want to do that because that's why they love the Constitution. But when they say you're engaging in a conspiracy theory, you got to throw it right back in their face as hard and as loud as you can. You can't, most people, the minute they hear a conspiracy theory, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. The questionable background of Obama, and they scream, conspiracy theory, conspiracy
and
theory.
And racist.
And you notice how people stop talking about it.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, look, they're asking honest, decent, reasonable questions. Nobody wants to be thought of as engaging.
A birther.
Right.
So you have to say, conspiracy theory? We're living a conspiracy theory. You guys are communist. Kamala Harris is a red diaper baby. She had communist, card-carrying communist parents. Talk to Trevor Loudon. He'll tell you all about it. It ain't a conspiracy. It's right in our face. Sorry you got me going. No, most of it for me is not to talk issue by issue by issue, but simply to formulate an entirely different way to fight back against these people, which is they're engaging in a propaganda war, and we're still saying, oh, become a precinct captain and all will be well. No, you know, that's not going to do it.
Let me ask you some. Do you
Wait
know?
A minute, I'm a PC
oh,
captain.
Chuck's a PC and he's a central committee person.
Well,
too.
See, not all is well, Chuck.
yeah, really, that should alarm you. Well, I think you have to do all of the above. It's my feeling on this.
Yeah.
We can walk
Scream
into
at your children. Yeah. Tell that jerk at the grocery store who wants you to keep that mask above your nose. Just punch him.
No, don't punch him. But I think we can walk
He's
into
kidding.
Them at the same time.
MoveOn.org. He's kidding.
Here, I'm coming to my vulnerable area now because the last impeachment trial, I lasted 3 weeks till I made a joke and then the world ended. So we got another impeachment trial going and I may want to tell another
your own
joke.
Content now.
Yeah,
right.
Difference.
That's right. That's right. Well, YouTube pulls it every so often for no apparent reason. They do. Well, what do you got? We only got a few minutes left. Do you, sure. you know what you're going to be doing Wednesday? Or you do so much radio all over the place. It just, you know, like I said, you do a great job at sort of outlining, I think, things from a big picture. And then, like you say, and not just saying, woe is me, but you're like, here's what we need to do about it. Here's how we need to fight back.
Well, I think I do that a little, but I also, you know, I guess. What do I want to say? I just get impatient with people who aren't connected to what I think is reality. Now, maybe I'm not connected to reality, but people who shall remain nameless didn't think it was a terrible crisis, you know, that Biden might win. And I just, everything that's happening is as predictable as could be.
Yes.
And to point out what I'll do on Wednesday, I don't know yet. But I've put out a few feelers for local people because I don't get to do as much local politics as I would like. So we have some people in Northern Colorado that are doing great work.
Yes.
And I'd like to get them some more exposure further south. So that's what I hope for. There's some great, courageous restaurants that are on the tip of the spear. Of fighting back. And I believed that Donald Trump was really their only way out. And now that way seems to be gone, as we see.
You're right.
So there, but for the grace of God, go us, because what they're doing to those restaurants is what they will be doing and are doing to all the rest of us. So.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, and we can talk
they
about it.
Already
I mean,
are
they are
doing
it to us. It affects the newspaper. And there's the trickle down, you know, all the trickle effects, right?
And it's so pathetic that you can go down to Florida, no mask, no anything else. Everybody's fine. And then here in Colorado, go, oh, no, we'll go to code yellow now. And, you know, you can be 50% capacity.
And then they say we've got the 48th worst unemployment going on in Colorado in the country. It's kidding. What a shock. And it is. That's a big concern. Those are real people out there who were having a life, who did have a business, who were
and we're living in a lie. We're being asked to play pretend about something that everybody winks and says, well, we have to do this so we won't stick out like a sore thumb. Maybe I'll have to tell the story at the beginning of the show on Wednesday of how I got kicked off an American Airlines.
Yes.
All right.
For life.
Excellent.
For life. Just
for life?
For
life?
They said so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
They said that I might get on the no-fly list altogether. And when I called to get my money back for the flight that I never got to take, which I still haven't gotten back and probably never will, they said, oh, no, you're not kicked off American Airlines for life. I said, don't worry, I will never fly on American Airlines.
All right. Well, Karen, thank you.
Great. Thanks for filling in Wednesday.
Karen,
really appreciate it. I'll send you a picture of my reconstructed leg.
Yes, please send it. Text it to me, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, Bye. Let's go real quickly. We've got only about 3 minutes left, but we want to get to Sherry in Lakewood. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling up. Oh, not Siri. Siri talks.
Yeah, hey. Sherry. It's you, Sherry, not Siri.
Hey, Sherry, are you there? No.
I'm listening.
No, shut up, Siri. All right. Well, hey, listen, we're running out of time there. So everybody call back on Wednesday with Karen Canning. Call back on Friday. Like I said, if you're listening to the show or you're looking at that, they took the power out. Thank you, Governor Newsom in California for BBS Radio. But valiantly got it back on.
The Garden of Eden out there.
The Garden of Eden. That's right. I want to remind you that you can catch everything at chuckandjulie.com. Any podcast that whatever your podcast app is that you like, we're up on all of them, but you could get a link there through chuckandjulie.com. I would love to have you follow us on Gab. I'm trying to switch over to gab.com. It's getting a lot quicker to use. So it's same thing. Magically, we're Chuck and Julie there too.
Magically.
Chuck and Julie on Facebook
and
YouTube.
Chuck and Julie everywhere.
Soon, commercial products and coffee mugs coming soon. Hey, want to thank
you. We do got to get a coffee mug.
That's right.
You guys want a coffee mug.
We probably won't actually put up live pictures, not live pictures, but pictures of Chuck's leg.
They're pretty nice legs.
They're very nice legs. All right. We will see. That will get totally pulled from YouTube.
I mean, how cool to have. Have you ever had cosmetic surgery? Yes, I have. On my leg.
On my leg. Hey, thank you to the guys.
Your face? No.
But my leg.
Let's do the leg.
That'll wrap it up for us, guys. Stay in for Kieran on Wednesday. We'll be back on Friday. Thank you to everybody who joined in. To Tom Tancredo, great guys at BBS. We'll see you in a few.
Take care, everybody.